Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the Word of God this morning from Revelation 22. I read this text first for the sermon, verse 5. Revelation 22, verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The title for the sermon is City of Light. 3 points of attention. The first point, the river and the tree. Second point, there shall be no night. And the third point, behold, I come quickly. So the title is City of Light. 3 points, the river and the tree. There shall be no night. And behold, I come quickly. Congregation, it happened in the 80 years war in the Netherlands. Spain besieged the city of Leiden, and at some point he had to leave for another battle, but they came back, and there was a strong hunger, lack of food in the city. There's no way because to get food supply, because the enemy was around the city. It was really suffering for the population, the inhabitants of the city. They thought they would die, and some of them would wanted to open the gates. Better let the enemy in than dying because of starving. But the leader of the city said, "Well, you rather take my body. But we will never, never open the gates." And then there came help. They broke the dikes to bring inundation, the water, so that the enemy around the city would have to flee. And the Lord provided a strong wind to bring the water in the right direction. And just in time, the Spanish army had to flee, and they were set free, delivered. What a miracle. We still hear a lot about that in school in the Netherlands. It was not the only city that was delivered by the hand of the Lord, being surrounded by the enemies and attacked in a severe way. Well, we do know from the Bible that this happened to Jerusalem several times, that even parents would eat their children. What a terrible situation, the city, to be safe in a certain way, but then to die within it because of no supply of food or maybe even water. And that never happens to this city. This city of light, which is an illustration, which is a picture, a figure of the church in this world, and in glory, in perfection, in the future. There is no lack of supply of food and water, because the water is not streaming into the city, but a well of water is within the city. There is a stream of water, and it comes from the throne, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Water of life. That's what the Lord Jesus is also using when he is speaking to the Samaritan woman, that she would never thirst if she would drink of that water. It is an illustration of salvation prepared and provided by the Lord. And so if you think about that city of light, and in the midst of it, the throne of God and of the Lamb, and a river of water that is coming out of it, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne God and of the Lamb of Christ. If you think about the meaning of water, how it is giving life and refreshing and providing in what we need, we see an illustration in it that the presence of God in the midst of that city of light, in the midst of the church, that is like a fresh river of water. The water is proceeding from the throne. So the presence of the Lord, the presence of Christ, is that source of life and refreshment and joy in that city, in the church. What a wonderful picture. What a powerful illustration. The nearness of the Lord, God in the center, Christ in the center, is like a river of fresh water, pure as crystal. That's a strong teaching, that in the church, Christ should be in the center, here, in the preaching, in the proclamation of the word, like he will be in glory, in full experience. But here is refreshing for my soul, life for my soul, when Christ in the throne, in power, in control, reigning, is in the center. My eyes see him by faith, like he is proclaimed in the preaching of the gospel. If that's lacking, what's left over? This is the source. This is where that river is proceeding, out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This is the joy of the heart of a child of God, that he is trusting in Christ and in his work, and it's like pure water in his heart and in his soul, providing life, joy, and peace. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit. So in the midst of the street, and on either side of the river, so you can imagine this city of light, you could say as a garden city. It has a wide street, a wide road, and it has a river there in the midst of it, and the tree of life at both sides of that river. So you could say there is such an access to this water and to this tree of life for everybody. It is there, it's available, is there in abundance. The tree of life, it bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So there is fruit every month, not only a few months a year, but continually there is supply of food, fruit, water, everything that is needed in this city. Oh, you cannot really comprehend the beauty, the joy that there is in this city, in the city of light. So the tree of life, we remember that we have seen that tree in paradise. There were the trees, there was a tree of life, and there was also a tree of knowledge of evil and good. And here we only read about the tree of life. It's remarkable that scripture is starting with it, and that scripture is finishing with it. That scripture is starting with that garden there in paradise, and that scripture is finishing with that garden here in New Jerusalem, the city of light. But we do not read here about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. No, that is not here in this New Jerusalem. So you can say And we have to be aware of the fact that it is better here in this city of light than it was in paradise. In paradise, there was the possibility to fall. There was the temptation of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, but it's no more here. God, in His grace and goodness, has saved a church and brought it in such a condition that it cannot fall anymore. It is secure for eternity. So you could say the state of the church is better than the state of Adam in paradise. Even the church here on earth, although it has still the fight of faith, that warfare to fight against sin and Satan and our old nature. But it is true what Paul is writing in Romans 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. That is true of the souls in glory in heaven with the Lord, enjoying it in full experience. But it is also true even of the weakest believer who is living by a true faith out of Christ. That believer is so secure because Scripture is making it so clear that none of them can be plucked out of the hands of Christ. And John saw the tree of life, abundance of fruit, and no tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yes, here on earth is still the temptation, that is true. But in glory, in heaven, that will be over. There will be no sin anymore and no temptation. And there shall be no more curse. It says in this chapter that a tree, that the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So there is healing. And we have to think about the healing of sin, of the corruption of our heart. That there is healing provided by the Lord, not only for Israel, not only for the people of the covenant, but there is healing for the nations. There is a perfect recovering from that depravity of sin that we all have by nature as children of Adam. But being born again, being born from above, being born from Christ, being born by faith, we are healed from that depravity and corruption of sin. Not only people of Israel, but all the nations will be brought into that city. All those that God has loved from eternity and has chosen and elected in His sovereign counsel and plan, they will enter into this city. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And again, here is an important lesson for us. So the Lord doesn't make a difference if we come from China or Africa or America or Europe. They all enter by grace this city. It doesn't make a difference from what tribe we are, from what language we are, or from what color of skin we are. I've seen in South Africa one time people came to my church and they didn't want to enter the church before they made sure that there would only be white people in the church. Made me very sad, because that will not be the case in heaven, that the Lord is is thinking that way, it's so clear in Scripture that racism is against the word and the will of the Lord. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. What reason is there for racism? Did we create ourselves? Do we not all come from Adam, one father? Why would there be proud because of belonging to a certain race? Why would there be pride in our hearts? It's a sin against God. And how much suffering has there been in this world because of this sin? The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So there is a medicine provided by the Lord to heal us. Are you struggling with that corruption in your heart? Do you feel the sin is too strong? Like when you are sick, you have a disease and you try to recover, you try to eat healthy food, you try to do exercise, you try to do what you can, but you feel, well, my body is getting weaker and weaker. I need help. Now, that's the experience for you about the situation of your heart. You try to improve yourself, you try to do better, you try to overcome certain sins, and you cannot make it. And now it says, but God has provided a medicine. The tree, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Christ has the power to heal you from corruption of sin. Do you believe that? Maybe you try to get good enough before you come to the Lord, and that's a trick from the devil. That's a lie from Satan. That's a snare from the king of darkness. It's impossible. You will never make it. So you just have to fall at the feet of Christ, as bad as you are. You probably don't see how bad you are, but I hope you see enough of it to come to Christ and just pray, Lord, be merciful unto me, that thou would heal my soul from this terrible corruption that is so deep in my nature. That is how I am by nature. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Oh, what a city of light, with all the supply that is needed in water, in fruit, and in healing. There shall be no night. The night with all the darkness, it will not be there anymore. The night so many times is causing fear. The night is a time that people like to do evil. It will not be there anymore. No darkness, no fear, no evil. There shall be no more curse. Curse is the destructive power that we deserve because of sin. The Scripture is very clear about it, that cursed is everybody who does not keep all the commandments of the law of the Lord. And so that's something that we should think about. Did I keep the commandments of the Lord this week in my life, in those years that I have lived on earth? Did I obey the Lord like I should? And if you want to summarize the law like Christ did it, did I love God above all, with all my heart, soul, mind, strength, everything, every moment, with all that is in me? I did not. Did I love my neighbor like myself? No, my heart is full of self-love. That's how I am. And so That's why I am by nature under the curse of God, the destructive power, and it's the patience of the Lord that not man is consumed, but that the Lord is forbearing so that we would repent and believe in Christ and rest in His work and experience that He took the curse upon Himself. Like Paul says in Galatians, that Christ hanging on the tree, hanging on the cross, He took the curse, because it's written that everybody is cursed hanging on a tree. In the books of Moses it's written, and Christ has experienced that curse of His Father upon His soul in Gethsemane and upon the cross. And it was a burden that's unbearable for man, but He took it, He being man and God. And now that's why there is written here, and there shall be no more curse, not the destructive power of the wrath of God that we deserve. It's taken away. There's only the blessing of the full forgiveness and the full love of God and peace with God, the harmony of heaven. Now the darkness of the curse will not be there any more, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. There shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. We have read in the last, in the previous chapter, that there shall be no light, no night, and there is no lamp, no candle needed, because Christ is the light of this city, the Lamb of God. The throne of God is there, the full presence of God. Scripture says, God is light, there is no darkness in Him. There shall be no night, they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. It's the presence of God that is the reason that there is no night, no darkness, because God is all in all. The Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. They shall see His face, and His name shall be in their forehead. They shall see His face. The Lord told Moses that nobody can see His face. Moses was allowed to see just an aspect, like the back part of the Lord passing by. But nobody could see the face of God in this life. He would be consumed by that glory there in heaven. There we will see His face, if we may enter there. There are no words, we can just stammer about it. We can just worship this, what is revealed in the Word. It will be greater than we can ever imagine to see the face of the Lord. They shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. It will be so clear that they belong to the Lord, that they are united to Christ, that they are one with Him, reconciled to God. His name shall be in their foreheads. They will not have the mark of the beast, Antichrist, but the mark of the Lord, the mark of Christ, and His name shall be in their foreheads. You can say the forehead, that's something that is visible. It will be so clear that they belong to the Lord. Here we sometimes might have a question, is this person Christian? Does this person belong to the Lord? It's not always as clear as it should be in our lives. Here it is clear that they belong to the Lord. The forehead, you could say, is the place that is significant for thinking, for your mind. You could say, well, God will be in their mind, like totally filling their thoughts, their mind, their way of thinking. He will be ruling everything in their minds. His name will be on their foreheads. We sin so much with our mind. We are sitting in church and our thoughts are wandering away, and we imagine things that we would like to do outside, and we dream about what we're gonna do this week, and we remember the things we have done last week, and we do not surrender our mind to the Lord, and we are not able to control our mind. We sin so much, even in church. But there it will be different. His name will be on their foreheads. They will be totally filled with the Lord. His glory, His presence will be controlling everything, and they shall reign forever and ever. They will be in a position of authority. There is no weakness there anymore. There's no stumbling and falling anymore. But they will share in the glory of Christ and in His victory, reign with Him, being in the throne with Him forever and ever. Oh, it's a glory that is prepared by Christ for all that trust in Him. That is described here in illustrations, in words. But it's much greater than we can comprehend or understand. But if you think about this for a while, young people, children, adults, if we think about this, it makes it so clear that it is not worth to sacrifice our life and all the gifts of God that we have to this world and to sin. We make the biggest mistake we could ever make. It says here, and they shall see His face. They shall see God like He is. And it will be so fulfilling, overwhelming, satisfying. He is the light of this city. It's all beauty and all glory and all peace and all harmony. And they will reign with Him forever and ever. And no more falling, no more weakness, no more sinning, no more darkness, no more tears. Nothing of all that we have to struggle with in this life that we experience here on earth. Can you imagine how that will be? Do you ever meditate about what the Word has revealed about it? So there is the secret of this glory, that God is in the center. That's why there will be no night anymore, no darkness. They will be serving, it says. His servants shall serve Him. And at the same time it says, and they shall reign forever and ever. You would say, is that possible? Can you serve and reign at the same time? Yes, that's possible. That will be the position of the church, to serve the Lord with all their hearts, to worship Him. But in the experience of that full authority and victory that Christ has gained in His dying and resurrection. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 94, stanza 1 through 6. 94, stanza 1, Thy mercy and Thy truth, O Lord, transcend the lofty sky. Thy judgments are mighty deep, and as the mountains high. 94, stanza 1 through 6. Congregation, it might be that there is someone here this morning that says, well, Pastor, this sounds all great, but yeah, it's kind of far away from me. I mean, what does it mean for me now, today? And you know, it's so hard for me to believe those invisible things. It's great, it sounds good, but what can I do with it? What is the meaning for me? Well, let's listen a little bit more to what is written here. It says, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. So the first thing that we have to be aware of is that the Lord makes it very clear that this is the truth. And that it is important. I can understand what you say, that you say, no, it's something I cannot see, and I have a hard time to believe those things and to find any benefit in it. But the Lord says this is faithful and true. The Lord has revealed it with a purpose, because he says here, behold, I come quickly. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. So in this book of Revelation, the Lord has revealed things that must shortly be done. And then the Lord says, behold, I come quickly. So it is not something that is far away. It will be seen soon. It will be clear soon that this is the truth, that this is reality, that God is gathering a church in this world, preparing it for that eternal glory, that it is a city coming down from heaven. And the great question is, if you dwell in that city, if you are an inhabitant of that city by faith, by grace, and the Lord in his goodness has revealed the things that have to happen shortly, that must shortly be done. And shortly you could also translate by with haste. So we see things happening in this world, and they are described in this book of Revelation. Calamities, disasters, wars, famines, heresies, all these things, we see them happening in this world, and you wonder sometimes why? And the answer is here. Those things must shortly, with haste, be done. That is how the book of Revelation is starting in the first chapter. God is busy to fulfill his plan, his counsel, to bring this world to that great future of glory, to bring the church to that great future of glory, to make a new world and new heavens according to his plan. So if you ask, why are people starving? Why is there famine? Why is there war? Why is there confusion in churches? Why is there heresy? It's all part of the counsel and the plan of God, and God with haste is busy to prepare that great new future. We are small. We cannot oversee all these things. But the Lord has given this book of Revelation that we would find comfort in it, that we believe that God is busy to fulfill his counsel, to prepare that great future. And then he says, behold, I come quickly. So, first question this morning, do you believe that this is true? Like it is written here, these sayings are faithful and true. This is reality. We are so inclined to look to the things of this world and think, well, that's reality. That's what I can touch and keep and enjoy and own, and brings me immediately pleasure, and I love it to see it. My eyes can see it, my ears can hear it. That's reality. No, it is not. It's something that is passing by. It's soon gone. It's just like a shadow. It's just like a soap ball. If you try to catch it, it's gone. You made the biggest mistake in running after those things and not seeking the invisible things revealed in the Word and receiving them by faith. because they are faithful and true, and there is such an urgent reason to seek these things for your own heart. Behold, I come quickly. It doesn't take long before Christ will return. And the first time he came in this world, he came weak as a baby born in Bethlehem, and he served, although he had authority, but he served in humility. But then the second time he will come in glory. It will be seen, it will be visible that he is the King of Kings. He will have all power, multitudes of angels surrounding him, the sound of the trumpet. He is coming, the bridegroom, to take his bride to be with him. Behold, I come quickly. And then it says, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. If you keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book, then you're blessed. So that is a question this morning. If you keep those things that are written here, how can you keep them? Well, you keep them by faith in your heart, that you believe that this is the truth, and that you bow under it in a way that you obey what is written in this book, in a way that you bow before Christ and confess your need and sin, and look unto him to find in him, the Lamb of God, peace with God. Like Paul says in Romans 5, we being justified by faith have peace with God. And that you keep the warnings in this book, that you will not follow the beast, Antichrist, who is fighting against Christ, or the false prophet who is deceiving people, but that you look to the word and to Christ. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And that you will not lose it. And it happens, humanly spoken, so easily that you forget about it, that you not follow the sayings of this book. Life is so demanding, and my heart by nature is not interested in the things of God. It's so much easier to spend your time, your energy, your attention to the things of this world that we like by nature, that connect to my natural heart. But blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. This is the way to persevere, that you listen to what the Lord has revealed in Scripture about Christ and about the devices of the devil, so that you escape from his snares. Behold, I come quickly. Maybe you say, well, is that really true? It's 2,000 years later now, almost, from time that this was revealed and written. And then we have to listen to what Peter says in his second letter, the third chapter. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but long-suffering, not willing that any perish. He is taking care that all those that he has loved from eternity, that they will be called in this world history to be saved. And this call can be heard in the proclamation of the gospel. And so that there is still this world, that still the second coming of Christ has not happened, is a strong proof of the mercy of the Lord, his long-suffering. And it's a strong proof that that door is still open in the work of Christ for the reconciliation of sinners. But we don't know how long. Behold, I come quickly. It is true. So tell me, do you love Christ? Do you know that light shining in your heart? Does it and did it show you whom you are before God? And did you stop to fight against it? And did you confess your helplessness, your guilt and debt before the Lord, and look unto the cross? That's all to be saved, to become before Christ whom you are, to become honest about yourself by the light of the Word, the light of the Spirit, and to find in Christ what you can never find in yourself. That is to be saved by grace. Nothing that you perform, nothing that you deserve. It's all His undeserved favor for helpless sinners, for miserable sinners, guilty before a holy God. And they will need eternity to bring glory to this God in that city of light. So tell me, did you become honest about yourself in listening to the Word, that the Spirit made it powerful, that you are that sinner worthy of the wrath of God, that you are ashamed about yourself before a holy God, that your pride is broken in the light of the Word of God, that you became whom you are? Did that happen to you? And that you, because of what God has revealed in His Word, look to Christ and saw Him hanging up on the cross, condemned, accused, killed, suffering because of the punishment of sin that you deserve. It's such a miracle. God gave His Son so that you would live. Christ died. This is the gospel. Salvation by grace. Nothing in you. All in Christ. To look unto Him like the dying Israelites in the wilderness. They were healed. And then that city of light before you, that expectation, that firm hope. Oh, this is great. This is overwhelming. I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel showed me these things. This glory prepared in Christ, this light of the Lord in the city of the church. But then the angel says unto him, see thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. So together with the angels and all the elect, that multitude that nobody can count, one day God's child will be there to worship not an angel, but to worship God. Forever and ever, to sing His glory. And how it will be in heaven, on earth, in performing a task, it will all be a song to the glory of God, to the Lamb. Thou art worthy to receive all the glory, the honor and the praise, because Thou hast bought us with thy precious blood. A multitude singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. You, will you be there? And I, we together, to rejoice in the Lamb, His work, And that joy will be so great when we would see each other there in eternity. How full will that joy be in Christ, but also to see that He has saved not only me, but also you. Will you be there? Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, the angel has spoken, I am thy fellow servant. To be like the angels of God in eternity, but also here on earth to experience something by faith of that reality that the kingdom of God is come unto us, like Christ has spoken in the Gospel of Matthew, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Here already that city is in the gathering of the church being prepared. And here already that shining light in the preaching of the gospel is experienced by faith. It's just a small taste of that fullness in eternity. But it is real, it is reality. There is peace here and now. There is eternal life in the knowledge of Christ here and now, and in the knowledge of God. But one day to see His face, oh Lord, it's worth to suffer. In following the footsteps of Christ, it's a short time, like 10 days. And then that eternal comfort, and all the tears will be dried from our eyes. No night anymore, no tears anymore. We pray, Lord, that a day will come soon that Christ will return, the bridegroom, to be forever united to his bride, to have that great wedding feast, that overflowing abundance experienced in the city of light. Lord, save all of us, that none of us would perish in utter darkness of hell. Lord, we pray, bless thy word. Help us in the classes, Sunday school, catechism, adult class, Lord, that thou would bless thy word there also, and help in the teaching. Keep Satan from us, forgive our sins. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.